comments, questions on the presentation made on behalf of the State Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Honourable members, your opportunity to do so. I note you, and I would kindly request your indulgence to bear in mind that we have several other presentations to go through. So my request again to members, please make your points as succinctly as possible. Honourable Masango, followed by Honourable Jasta, and followed by Honourable Sultani, and Mayor Masiela, and Honourable Dlamini, and Honourable Rose, in that order. And Honourable Stolle. Please, comment.
Thank you. The only, I think, something that is struck we didn't get from the presenter is their own suggestion, you know. They have been a lot of concern, but they don't give us what should be done. I just want to go to page 7, where they say, given the power of in the hands of the state, the farmer under threat of a person is powerless. I'm not sure what that means. Is he powerless on what grounds? Maybe you can just give us those.
Thank you,
Amber.
Thank you.
As the Honourable Masango has already stated, so when the public comments are invited, especially the one of the reports is that people, when criticizing the bill, they come with also their own input. We are concerned, he stated that the proposed legislation will diminish this one, the constitutional and racial rights of our people, those that rights of all. I'm really need an explanation because what I know is that the table of the bill is to redress and that is the to the imbalances of the past. And by so doing, basically, this one maybe to make those lenders to possess some banks. So I really am not sure how will their rights, their constitutional rights, be affected by this. Also, in page 2, the attorney here says, getting numerous queries for the opinions for business wanting to invest in South Africa, but I mean extremely cautious and not doing so in light of the proposed bill. I'm really not sure why were they waiting for the bill to come, why were they so quiet in the past up until 2015 bill comes up. I don't like to repeat what Honorable Masang has stated. It really left the inputs of
thank you very much, member. Honourable Sultani.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. We were so much looking forward to a presentation from this institution, such an old institution in the land, but I'm afraid I must say that it's rather disappointing that we didn't make time to go into detail. Thinking, the overall thinking, things should be okay, but the lack of detail is what has kind of killed the whole thing. There's lots of sweeping statements that have been made, you know, too many to enumerate. You can also look at the second last paragraph of page 11. There is a serious presumption there, which does not seem to have to be based on anything substantive, you know, the combined part of the association, the new association proposal, and the money and values and negative provision is substantive. I think the same for largely disposition of productive agricultural land. This is the point. where does this come from, because we all know that we need lots and lots of productive agricultural land in South Africa. Why has to that the government would be happy, you know, specifically for agricultural land? This is the whole point. And then lastly, on page 12, you know, where there's reference to a need for better housing. As far as I know, it is actually government that is in terms of quantity, let alone quality, in terms of the land volumes of housing, seems you know, that any other institution is delivering to government. And I would never be surprised if at some point government would say, well, expropriate this farm or this large tract of land exactly to provide housing. But now, this put is almost like, you know, this would be counterproductive. And then lastly, on page 13, you know, public interest, as far as I can understand it, would not include, those items. I think public interest as such would by and large focus on land as such, but not those other items that are like trips or buses and all that. And it's, you know, that's why I say there's many, too many, you know, sweeping statements that have been made that, you know, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Thank you, sir.
May Mathieu, honourable member.
Thank you, honourable chair. As we welcome the presentation, it is also very much disappointing to learn the issues that have been raised here. Some of them you ask yourself elsewhere. They did you go through the bill itself. On page 1, the second paragraph, it talks about ill-conceived legislative program. I'm sure all the people who presented here, they were viewing this bill the way it is now, and it has been changed from one era to the other, as being more progressive than it has been before. So I don't know how did she or they come into this conclusion. On page 3, I think it's the fourth paragraph. The proposal in 2050 bill go away and beyond that. It goes too far. What does this mean when we say it goes too far? Can you elaborate on this statement? Then on page 6, the first paragraph, the new bill is still unclear on the issue of interest payments. If you go to section 13, number 1, it explains clearly how this is supposed to be done as far as the interest is concerned. So can you also elaborate on that one, what you mean by this? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Dlamini.
Thank you, Chair. I think from the court, just three issues. One, the statement talks about radical modification and alignment of the Constitution. But it stops in terms of explaining what does that mean. But from where we are, the radical alignment of the Constitution is a separation of land, because obviously that only represents the same people that benefited on the previous government. And again, it admits that agriculture in this country, it will be affected by the expropriation of land, because even back then, the agriculture grew from the forceful removal of our people in their own farms, so it cannot be correct. Thirdly, the land in this country, 71% of it is sitting on private hands, and both of those private hands is the same institution or the organization that the attorney is operating. Those businesses from industrial land to agriculture and even other private properties like the game funding every day. So it's the same institution that one government provided land from. So to say that with the expropriation it will affect the issue of how we deliver it, it's not true, because that statement is contradicting what is currently happening. Because they own the land, they want to sell it to government so that government can be able to provide houses, but they increasingly they're putting up the prices. So any government is gonna get money to provide those houses. So it cannot be true. So this presentation is somehow misleading, and we just summarize.
Thank you, sir. Honourable Ngozi.
Thanks, Chairperson. No, I think that this is actually an embarrassing presentation to come firstly from a company, an association or a collective of people who have been in the country for and owning most of the economy of the country or the Western Cape for so many years. But actually, it's embarrassing to come from an attorney. You have completely misunderstood. Either you have not read the bill, or this is maybe the misunderstanding of the bill. Or you say, for instance, the present legislation says that property may only be expropriated for public purposes, such as building of roads, but the new version extends expropriation in the public interest. And earlier on you said you are defending the Constitution. Which Constitution? This is embarrassing. You must be told that. I mean, which Constitution are you talking about? Why are you not quoting it? And then you say, this bill is making investors to go. All investors will go in South Africa. You are the alarmist one. You are the people that this country must have a problem with, because you misread everything, you miscall and you say investors are going to go in the name of the Cape Town Chamber of Commerce. I think that is embarrassing, and you must be told that the constitutional and trying rights of our people, those rights that we fought for. I mean, where was the Cape Town Chamber of Commerce fighting for which rights? But Section 25 says we can appropriate in public interest and for public purpose. Okay. The other thing, by the way, I mean, as I said, I'm here, so if we have to take lands to build an energy resource, like, so that Eskom has more energy, we don't think that land must be compensated, because it must benefit the same chambers to do business. That's why public purposes are for. And we want to communicate that because we represent the Chamber of Commerce. So, for instance, the bill says, the property section of the Constitution, section 4 says, for the purpose of this section, public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform. And if you had read it properly, you would know that the Constitution has an interest in this thing called public interest, and it explains that it must be also about land reform. And government must find ways of making sure that land is taken to black people that were forcibly removed from what these chambers have benefited from for a number of years. So in conclusion, Chairperson, for people to come to Parliament and ask us to keep the status quo, we must send them back to these associations and tell them without no apology that we've got the duty to change this society, and if they don't acknowledge the moral criminality of apartheid and colonization, they probably don't belong to a democratic South African clearly. The constitution that they say they are defending is not the South African constitution. Maybe it's the constitution of the Republic of the Congo of Cape Town.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Deputy Minister. Coming at this point, because I want to agree with what the members are saying. Frankly, the input is embarrassment, such as South African selectively, and it's wasting the time of this committee, to be quite honest. And so I would encourage the Chair, but it's obviously in your hands, that we don't entertain responses, because our time has been wasted. Time has been wasted for the reasons that I think a number of the members have already said. It's quite clear that the representatives of the Cape Chamber of Commerce and Industry has not read the bill, or if she has read it, has simply not understood some of those basic things. So for instance, and the Honourable from EFF has already made this point, we accuse it of being unconstitutional because it introduced public interest. But it's useless how unconstitutional in saying that this is unconstitutional. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, explicitly calls for expropriation being allowed in terms of public interest as well as public purpose, and explains what it means in brief terms about public interest. The other consumer representation of what the Bill is saying, only the Minister of Public Works may expropriate. There's no such thing in this bill. The mention of the state value general. There's a mention of the state value. That's in another piece of legislation. We're not bringing that in. There's the question of licenses and other forms of property. There's extensive. Not only has the not read this bill, but has not followed any of the constitutional court's judgments in regards to expropriation and related matters in regards to property. And so I'd like to agree with those who said that, you know, coming here and saying this is unconstitutional, this is fighting away foreign investors and so on, it's being alarmist. You're absolutely right. It's being alarmist, and it's likely to become a self-fulfilling prophecy unless we as Parliamentarians very clearly
say that, you know, this is completely out of it, what you're doing here. I would also suggest, Chairman, because the individual representatives have been associated with this, representing not just the South African community, the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, but also the South Station. And I would really like to know whether these views are representative of safety, the national body. I'm not suggesting that it was misrepresentation in that respect, but I'm very concerned if this is safety's meeting of the building of recognition. And I'd also draw attention to the lead colleagues from the media themselves are obviously covering it, that you know, we've heard from BUSA, Business Unit in South Africa, from AgriSA, specifically relating to agricultural issues which raised SOCOMA recently, Little Rental, the Banking Association, and all of them have said that this is fundamentally, you know, constitutionally compliant. All of them have raised useful points, some of which we can some of where they think that there might be a challenge or constitutional or where the bill can be improved. And therefore it's deeply disappointing. And always shot, thank you. And it sends a signal, a very bad signal out there. I'm hopeful and I'm sure that the media has intended to refine this and have the opportunity to appreciate overwhelmingly what we're hearing from seriously representative bodies of business, of private sector, you'll soon hear from the trade union sector, that this is not, you know, a disastrous, unconstitutional thing threatening foreign investors. The foreign investors depend on the messages they get, and this is seriously problematic. So, Chairperson, it's in your hands, but I suggest that we don't entertain this option. Let's move on to the next one. That's what I was proposing.
Members, I have heard you. Present your concluding remarks.
I'd like to start, like to start off with addressing the Deputy Minister's comments and the Honourable Minister's duty. I want to read you the bill and the constitution to which you're referring to. The public interest act includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to South Africa's natural resources. But the part that is worrying is other related reforms in order to retrieve the results of the past radical discriminatory laws. We're not saying for the laws or the previous atrocities that were committed must not be addressed. We are saying that it must, but not in a way that takes away the person's right to have recourse to court. So we agree with each other, with the EFF and with the Deputy Minister, that we want to follow the limited line of what our constitution clearly states of what public interest is, not the additional parts that have been granted. Then the Honourable Members strongly said regarding bargaining power, and I don't think he said that he wanted to know why there will be no bargaining power. It has got nothing to debate or to leverage against the authority of the state, then we believe that you have no bargaining power. Honourable Minister Lady Baptist wants to know why it was too wide. We refer to what we want public interest to mean, exactly what our constitution says. Also says, why waiting for now for the bill to come? This is now when it's in the media and the public are coming to us. Honourable Minister Lenny said it's disappointing and lack of detail and speaking statements. I don't know if this is the Honourable Minister that said that there's incoming solutions, and then I would agree with you, but we would want reasonability, we want the law of the land to come, we want fair and equitable, we want time frames to be counted, we don't want the judicial system to exclude it, but most of all, we want the people to be able to have redress to court. Honourable Member Dlamini said that I asked for a radical modification of the Constitution, that I stated that radical modification in line with the Constitution, so that we have the same definition of what public interest is in the Constitution. Agriculture, as I said, agriculture won't be lost. I think the main problem is, and that's the uncertainty of this law. Someone said that it won't be, the Deputy Minister also referred to you, that there are cases that have to be followed due to that it won't be businesses and such like. That is the uncertainty and that's not clarified in the bill. Then the government says that 71% of private land is in private hands. Do you agree? It is in white owned hands. And that must be changed. That we agree with wholeheartedly. But how it is changed, it's how you take the land, and what you pay for that, and what redress the person has once the land has been taken. Not only on the quantum of the land and being placed, and the time frame in which it's placed.
Thank you very much for your time, ma'am. Thank you. The next presentation will be by the South African Institute of Values. Some members who are grappling to find the correct presentation. I'll show you what I have. It's entitled the South African Institute of Values. And then it has a shield on the side of Emma. We all have the presentation, members? Please continue.
Thank you, sir. Our submission I refer to land parcel. We believe that under that definition they should refer to land parcel survey in terms of the land survey act report, otherwise what meant by a survey. You know, just to make it more formal. Also, we do believe there may be a room to extend a land parcel also to a unit of use. And the reason for saying that is sometimes a property comprises a number of land units. So if the square plating of the property comes along and it takes, say, two of the four land units, two units will be remaining, which will be economically non-viable. And, you know, under the justice compensation, you will have to compensate the owner for the diminution in value of the remainder, but it's a more practical solution to rather deal with the unit of use, expropriation, than just national unit as such. It might be an option. I would also under the register contract, I'm just giving the point. I think I should further all out. I do not want to reiterate on what I know this is a very forum and there's still a lot of submissions to be made. Unregistered, I think the exclusion of the reference to water, water should be included because it refers to minerals and things, but that the board is also a registered license and right, and that should be just included in the definitions. Value, I agree, value is not pivotal in compensating discrimination, but it's something one can control. And there's a lot of reference in the bill to value. And I think it's important that one has qualified that as an offered value, because when I leave that door open, value can be very much distorted. So it's an offered value as the set of three parts. Is what is meant by value. One should rather refer to market value instead of value, because that market value can then be adjusted according to the rules of section 25(3). But if you leave it open as a value, it could be presented as an opportunity value or whatever value that tutorial definitions of value. So we would suggest that if this reference made to value, one should rather make a reference to market value to align it with the constitutional provisions. Also, under the definition of value, it is quite a wide definition because it refers to professional value with professional associated value. That's no technical credit for dealing with the compensation determination. There are some associated value that are actually registered with restrictions, which limits them to certain type of work, which is somebody that values property for restoration purposes. That person that does not have the skills to value property for restoration purposes, one doesn't want to enter the arena where these unqualified people value properties for preparation purposes. So that's why we suggest that it can only be such parties with that restrictions to ensure that, because there's already been so many indirect valuations become South Africa, and by leaving that door open, I'm sure we might have more of that. Further down that track, before I deal with the use of use that I spoke about earlier, and then I want to move to page 6 of our submission. That is the section part that deals with investigations. We feel there might be also confusion in terms of the information that that the owner must provide. At value, obviously, we would gladly like to have as much information possible as possible, but it may be that what is proposed in the bill exceeds the protection of privacy of certain bodies. What we do say, if it does remain in the bill and becomes enacted, that information must remain confidential, so that it's not distributed to the public or becomes part of the public domain. Under section 85A and B, which deals with the serving of the notice and the compensation offers. I'm not sure if I perhaps misunderstand it, but it appears if a notice will be served, a collective notice, the property owner and the right holders, and the compensation will then be shown on that note. Individual conversation with people should be a party. Now that could be by itself create a problem. What we suggest is that individual notices are certain of parties, because if two adjacent owners receive compensation offers, their circumstances may be very different. They could start playing with off against each other, and that could become quite a tough form. And they can start playing with off against the expropriating authority. We would suggest that such notices are set individually with inclusive compensation on individual right holders and owners. The other part of our submission mainly deals with technical things, E's and R's and N's. Sir, that is our submission. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for your presentation, sir. Members, questions, areas of clarity, comments? Honourable Ndlozi.
Thanks, Chair. Before I want to do two things. One is ask my clarifying questions, and later on make a comment. And the just a quick question, because the land values are critical to those things of compensation, the conversation about compensation. So I want to ask you quickly, what formula did they use? Because there are a lot of cases of people who belong to the South African Institute of Valuers, between them and the main departments, in cases of restitution where they inflate prices. I mean, something like Alamala was priced by them, I think. Really, that whole thing was really. So, what is the formula of arriving at a price of a property? Is a specific analysis of historically. So, if I were to ask him that government wants to buy district 622 people, how will he arrive at the value of district for government to pay? Thanks.
Honorable Fritani, I start your agenda, followed by Honorable Masang. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's look at page 3, page 5, for your question. You suggest that we should change, but you don't give us any hints as to when, how it should change. In other words, what would such an important expression be replaced with?
You kindly, I would suggest that you kindly just note the questions. Because I'm going to take at least 3 and then I'll give you the opportunity to respond. But it won't be a dialogue between two people.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, because market interest is totally different. Rather, public interest is totally different from public interest as defined, you know, in the Constitution. And that's why one would welcome, you know, a suggested substitute. And then secondly, a comment on page 4, about the market, and before we kind of introduce rather very, you know, broadly last year, we saw the equity to the banks and such institutions, but I should say that we cannot agree that the only value that should drive the process is market value. Yeah, that is because of the buyer that is normally associated, you know, with what is generally referred to as market value. Equally, you know, the borrower, as you suggest there, knowing the history of the function, it is not rocket science to guess exactly how many people can actually be involved in this if we say those are the only people. We think that the borrower should be, you know, with somebody who would be appointed, you know, appropriately, not just the generic way in which you suggest should be done, because the sense of bias, you know, towards a certain class of people. I'm not challenging the definition of the borrower as in training, but just to say your suggestion suggests that we should keep going in a certain direction so that a very open, transparent process will open the process in the borrower. Thanks. One last thing I would say is that for such fine print, I think the presenter was a little bit light. It was somewhat difficult to, you know, to keep up with the pace. What would you use for 10%? But you were flying, you know, rather than driving.
Okay. Honorable Fritani, there's a stark contrast between the previous presentation's point, which was very huge, and this one is very small. But the quality of the two, I would not venture to judge. Babu Masango.
Yeah, thanks. On page 4, with regard to valuer, I just, maybe if you can read it, just clarify more, because it's saying without restriction, and it's referring to the property valuer, so that we can understand what does it mean without restriction.
Thank you, sir. I would like to remind the House that at the rear that there's coffee and tea that has been brought in 3 minutes or so. So you could kindly just help yourself as we proceed. You may respond to the comments and questions.
thank you, sir. Request for formula, and perhaps I can just use an example first. We dealt with there was a farm here on the school of yesterday that belonged to the Dutch Reform Church. That farm was put up in auction by the church, and there were a whole community staying on the farm. This was in the 50s, late 50s. The church had advertised that people contended for this farm on the basis of they received the farm with the community on. We have advised all they can receive the farm, and the community will then be removed by the church and relocated elsewhere. The successful bidder put on the basis that he will take the farm with the community on. Obviously, that price would be lower than having an unencumbered farm. We were asked to vary in the early 90s, because one of the first properties was probably dealt with on that basis. We looked at the bidder prices that were paid that were offered. Farm with incumbents, farm with the incumbents, but he elected to take the farm with the incumbents, and it was about a 40% difference. So our valuation in 1992 came to, I can't remember that figure, in the order of 5 million added in an unencumbered farm. And we said if we apply the constitutional rules, you should only receive compensation 3 million, and that's the basis of what we recommended. So we want to see what basis the property was applied. If it was applied at this time due to unfair racial practices, that discount was protected in to the current compensation you determined. I'm not sure if that answers the member's question on that basis. Obviously, in this district, one will have to investigate each and every acquisition that was made by members of the white group of land in this district and see how they leverage the price when they acquire the land. And one needs to understand. I use the yellow flu example, of course, as an easy example to explain. I just want to go on the members. Tanya, sorry, I'm over here. A question on our paragraph 3.5 of our submission, where I say public services must be the reason, and I just want to explain my reasoning for that. We go to page 5 of that bill, where it deals with public purpose. The public strategy of purpose is state includes interests connected with the administration of the provisions of any law by any organ of state. Now, that is, it's quite a wide statement. Public purpose should just be public purpose. It shouldn't, does that mean if you want to acquire stationery as a government department, you can expropriate space? You know what I'm saying, sir? That would be time to say public purpose, the easy to understand, it's for public infrastructure projects, roads, dams, etc. And for that reason, we say it, we believe that it's already there, it doesn't need to be quantified. The moment one brings in a provision to say with administration of the provisions of any law by any organ of state, one wants to see past that. But I leave it as it is. It's just a question. We weren't clear on what he meant by what he said within the provision. And for that reason, we thought it may be worth the while. Well, it's removed, of course. And towards this progress was the public interest is the vision that many other parts are concerned about, and that's what our concern. Market value, only value, that the question was, yes, we do not believe market value is necessarily the only compensation driver. We say it's one quantifiable driver, that it is quantifiable up front. And so for process values, we take the question, and interesting enough, when Judge Scott has assisted us with the submission, he said, you value still as a challenge because you're trying to value property and generally at market value. Now you've got a section 3.3 that requires all these adjustments. You may not be equipped to do that. And there's a need for you to make those adjustments to be constitutionally compliant. The Yellow Swift case example where the market value was something and the compensation was something very different to perhaps explain that. Yes, generally the value of fraternity in South Africa, we are presumed to be pale males, and then just perhaps give the members idea, that is slow changing. If you visit my office, you will see I'm the only pale male out of 11 people. So that is changing. The value generally is not a pale male, which is, I think, very good for the country. Members, the silver asked about the restrictions that I've referred to regarding values. Now, values are called a statutory body of the South African Council of Property Values. Professionally, you go through a process where you must train and you're carried at value, then you write all exams, and then they will re-register you as a professional associate value or professional value, which means that you know at the end of registration. But under the registration category, professional associate value, they sometimes say you're a professional associate value, but you're restricted to certain types of work. Some professional associate values are with their positions, which means they are equipped to do most of the work. But people who have positions of certain types of work shouldn't be allowed to do a preparation work because we believe it will not serve the purpose of that. And that is what I was trying to say by that suggestion.
Thank you, Honorable Madam and Honorable Ndlozi.
Yes, so on the public peoples, I think the idea is to just make sure that this be respected within the Constitution. Now, I hear the President say, okay, let me leave it like this. Now, I just want to ask him whether if we leave it like this, is it not unconstitutional?
Kindly wait, there's another follow-up. Honorable Nuch?
Yes, thanks, Chairman. You know, there's been a big problem of independent valuer. Because, you know, if we can investigate in the first 15 years of state purchase of land from them, particularly for reform purposes, there are many cases where the government has taken them to court for land that was even the market value 2 million and they say 4 million. So there is always a possible suspicion of collusion between them and the land farmers. It's possible that some of them are descendants of land farmers, but let's leave it like that. Like their fathers are owning farms or something. So I want to, you know, I don't think any land in this country must ever be paid for historic reasons. I think the embrace of that constitutional clause is as easy as that. In any way, I wanted to ask him, what do you think of if we could actually do away with independent valuers? Because this is one of the proposals that many presenters have made, and as a state valuer, what are his thoughts on that? And also the thoughts on the valuer general, because in the public there's a question between this bill that we are making and the Property Valuation Act. So, which I know that in the pipeline somewhere there's the establishment of the Valuer General. Yeah, thanks.
Honorable Member, thank you. Honorable Lamini.
Thank you, Jeff. Mine is just one question on 3.4 public interest. There are ways there to say much utility and there are reasons they are. And other related reforms in order to redress the results of past racial discriminatory laws and practices. So that's what you understand from your organization. They believe that there was such thing. Because from what I'm seeing there, as you say, it was deleted. It's like your organization, they don't even believe that there were any racial discrimination, that discriminatory law that took place this time. Because this bill, it seeks to deal with those issues. But you're saying that it must have been deleted. So do you guys believe that there was any such that to be said? Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Present your responses.
Thank you, sir. The public purpose definition, when you look at the Constitution of South Africa, there is no explanation what is meant by public purpose. It's not defined. That's my concern, because our whole purpose with LSAT is to try and align everything in the Act or the Bill with the Constitution. And for that reason, we decided, because it was a part of the Constitution, it's probably better to remove it from the Bill. I do, unfortunately, have better suggestions, as you ask. I for that reason. Independent values, I do agree if one looks at valuation of economics in Africa, it is against a value. I'm very proud of my profession, but there are values that are valued and they probably go to the farmers. I cannot say it doesn't happen, and that is wrong. if I look at transactions of properties, that's what we do all the day, and you see what the state buy land at, it's cropping at times. At times it's got a 2-3 times the market value plus. Be misinformed by values or parties. So, I do believe there should be between the council of that, the African Council of the Property Values Profession, and the profession itself, there should be much more for what store growth, and government should also make sure that these parties are reported, because they never take into tax values. If you look at the value practices elsewhere in the world, at the moment values are starting to be taken to task and being held professionally liable for work, all of a sudden the stand goes up. That lived in the art professional life in South Africa. I was chair of the Institute of Values many years ago, and that's one of the things I always said in my thesis. I do hope just to rectify our profession and give it more of credibility in the marketplace. We need to be held accountable. The same values that I do not believe one should do totally away with the private values. I think there's a room for them, because otherwise you almost turn the wheel back to the old land credit and agricultural reform system where, you know, it becomes very biased just from one party side. So I think by having independent values, they are sounding boards that give independent view. The state value which one looks currently at the value general is a person that's appointed, and he will, I think, be a party that will also identify which values in the private domain are values that do good work. Mr. Gabor, the person that's been appointed, is a very capable value, and I'm sure he will not allow himself to be led down the wrong avenues in terms of compensation by values which may have bias. The Institute of Values have around the motto, without bias, that's what tells us. I'm hoping he's so mentioned, as I mentioned, it may not be that all members go the line in that way. On 3.4 public interest, the reason why we brought in that lesion is because the Constitution doesn't really deal with that public interest definition. It doesn't include those words. And it being for that reason to align with the Constitution, we simply believe that yes, there's been racial discrimination in the past. There certainly be a lot of discrimination to people of colour. And that must be addressed. We're not in disagreement with that at all. The only reason why we made the protest is to ensure that it complies with the Constitution. I trust that answers the question.
Very brief.
Yeah. No, I want to test this, you know, because would you agree that no one created land? So, nobody. Especially on the product, you can say I have a patent right to this product. So no one sort of is born with them in their pocket anyway. So if we respond to the law, I'm just trying to test you valuation, you know, sense. If we were to, while I was asking about the formula, I wanted to know one of the ways to get out of the historic impact is to declare on land state land, and that nobody should be paying for land. You can pay for the camera on the land, you can pay for the brick on the land or something, but no one should be paying for land because, no one bought land. No one created land. It's not it's common property that we find here. You can pay for other things. So if in the formula includes land and we sort of nationalize all of land, would that make land would that make the transaction considerably cheap?
Please. I don't think we'll allow that debate go on, because it's too broad for this kind of forum. I'm a Christian. I've got a totally different belief that somebody created the land. So that's why I say I don't want that debate to go on, because we could be here until from witness.
Honourable members, I don't want a religious debate here. A question has been posed, I'm sure the presenter will be able to give a short, succinct reply,
But before that, Honorable Kunrad, you also had your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I have a specific question, but I think we must consider that, like, I think it's not fair to ask ideological questions to presenters coming there in a certain extent. We can have a nice debate on that one. I mean, the state also does not create the land, so we can have long discussions. So maybe we should just get some rule there. I know there are some people who are obsessed with criminality, but not all of us are obsessed with that, but okay. Chairperson, my question is specific on the legal costs. On page 12, it actually proposes that the finding of the Constitutional Court when it comes to legal costs should be followed. But I mean, if I interpreted it correctly, the Constitutional Court actually finds where there is a court case when it comes to expropriation, if the government wins its case, it only pays its own costs. But the person who did not win its land still had to carry those costs. Now my question is, if you look at clause, I think it's 21, determination by the court, isn't that worse if the person to be expropriated's property will have to pay the cost in any way? Can I just get that difference more clearly from the president? Thank you.
If you could kindly respond to the two last inputs.
Thank you, sir. The first question by the member on land is it is not a commodity. It's a limited resource that will increase. If all land is nationalized, as the member has stated, how do you think we will need the expropriation bill? Because what is the purpose of the bill? I cannot really take further than that. On the question of cost,
you want to make a decision what my surname is. Honorable Grunewald, I can you read.
On the question of cost, as I understood the bill, is that a party, if he's not successful, might also be liable for part of the expropriation cost. And as I understand the Constitutional Court ruling on that, and really informed by Judge Holmes, that's what the route he would take, is to say that it must be left to the court to start in a particular circumstance, because it varies from party to party. You may have vexatious claims and fraudulent claims, and such parties should carry the brunt of the cost order. But you might have a poor person that has a justified claim, but he's too scared to take it to court. And for that reason, we make that suggestion. That's what I can say. And I must apologize, sir, for having the haste in my initial presentation. I was a bit intimidated by the score.
I'd like to assure you that you've done very well. You should not be interpreted by this sort of... at least there's a friendly face from the chair, I hope. Deputy Minister,
thank you very much for the presentation. I agree with those. It's very useful. Although you were fine, not flying, but motoring. Well, you were fine and not motoring. We want to assure you that certainly we'll pay very close attention to all of the things, including those that we're covering the presentation. So just to assure you of that, and to thank you for the presentation. I was intrigued, Chairperson, by the point made in response to that valuers aren't held to account when there's a problematic. Interestingly, in the presence of the portfolio committee, I think that's one of the issues we need to ask the departments, because if the council, the Valley General, falls under the Department of Public Works, why are we not assuring that, as of the legal profession, not always effectively, but as of the legal profession, where there's, you know, collusion with landowners and so on in terms of valuation, we don't blow the whistle and find legal ways. So I think that's a conversation outside of the bill, that emerging from the discussion. So I think it's useful. But thank you for raising that, and thank you for your commitment to ensuring that we really get rid of that we can become proud of the profession and not have this problem. A slight argument, not an ideological or religious kind. I take your point that obviously the most readily quantifiable elements is market elements. But I think we're just careful of saying that it's the only thing that can be quantified. But I also take the point that you're saying that, as the judge said to you, that the new constitution puts new pressures on you because you're affected now to value things that are not just market elements. And I think there is, I mean, for instance, I mean, just to give an example, and not just, you know, putting in cow grain, running into Rosebank and Trenton, it immediately had a massive impact on the value of property surrounding it. So they increased by, you know, threefold and stuff. Now that's quantifiable. So if there was an attempt to expropriate one of those buildings or whatever, that's a form of government subsidy or intervention. That doesn't happen to nothing, they're just having a property. That is a result of public spending. It's not a government public spending that's increased for them. So those things are quantifiable. So anyway, that's a challenge, not necessarily inviting a response. And then other more religious and what they're into, the more religious and ideological way, I'll make a copy available of Bryn Marx's Grundrisse to some of my colleagues from here for a moment. We'll make a copy of Grundrisse where Marx says the arable land is a result of human labor. Land might be there, but the fact that it's arable, cultivable, and has value is a result of labor, of work. But it comes to the same conclusion for the different regions, that it should therefore be become common property. That becomes shared. But I'll make a copy of my colleagues over there of Britain.
I would like to thank the presenter for your time and for sharing with us your contribution. As we consider the bill, we will take into cognizance the issues that you have shared with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask the Deputy Minister a question now that the presenter is giving on a remark he made? I just want to ask the Deputy Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, why did he let his duty to educate the people of his EFF when they were at his own party?
Honourable members. Honourable members. The next presentation is South African Geomatics Institute. Yes, Honourable Andrew.
No, consultant is still coming, so we'll have an opportunity to clarify some of these things.
But they won't be unideological.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Deputy Minister and honourable members of this committee hearing this all. My name is Peter Newmarch. I represent the South African Geomatics Institute. It's an institute that effectively looks after the best practice, interests, standards, ethics, etc., relating to land surveyors, surveyors, and GIS practitioners. We made a submission, a written submission, earlier in the first call for comments, and I made a further visual PowerPoint kind of presentation yesterday. I don't want to talk to all the issues in our written presentation. I think following the TV channel yesterday, I think a lot of the discussions were some of the items we covered, and I don't think we need to cover that again. All our comments are valid. You know, from the fact that we're not speaking to it doesn't mean to say we're now withdrawing those comments. What I'd like to start off with, if I may, is have some visual pictures of expropriations, which I'd like to talk to you to put in perspective some of the comments that we've then made further on. I'll use this this screen here, so most of the members seem to be on that side. The red line here represents a cadastral parcel. And as the Honourable Deputy Minister alluded to about the appropriation with regard to Caltrain, that's the Caltrain. It's elevated over this part with the freeway going underneath. Now, you also have a road that comes through here and out through here. Now, at land surveyors, we are effectively, along with the surveyor general, the custodians of the land parcel, the diagram, the spatial record of property. And as you can see, the owner of this piece of land, who has a title in the deed office, it will pay to the effect, let's have argument take it, it's 5 hectares. He's actually no longer actually owns 5 hectares. Various pieces have been expropriated over various decades or years. And so the spatial record is no longer correct. And this is because, which I'll allude to later, about how the appropriation process happens and some of the shortcomings in that, which we would hope that this bill can then fix so we don't have these shortcomings going forward. There are literally hundreds of thousands of situations like this where these, what we call partial expropriations, have never been, from our perspective, fully complete. Yes, the expropriation happens. Yes, the state vests as the owner. But they're in the stops. The spatial record hasn't been completed. So, this has certain knock-on effects. For example, I've mentioned here cadastral wrong. Well, actually, cadastral is not wrong. What's the problem is that the process hasn't been completed. There's nothing wrong with the cadastral parcel. It's just that the new parcels haven't been undertaken. It affects, obviously, the property area. You have a whole buyer-seller relationship. You know, now the property diagram says 5 hectares, and what's the owner selling? It's still his name and company. You have rate value issues. If these were based on sketch plans and not based on actual land surveys measurements, well, what is the actual true area remaining? And is it over or under? Is the landowner being compromised here and paying too much or too little with regards to the balance of the area that remains? And then you have planning type issues, where you have coverage, FAR, site spaces, building lines, etc. Now,
could you kindly unpack your acronyms?
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Quite a number of disciplines with different acronyms.
Sorry, Chair. So let me do that. So coverage, so these are planning terms which relate to how much of the land you can sort of. So for example, coverage is a versatile bird's eye view. So if this were 5 hectares, they would say that, for example, your coverage is 100%. That means you could build on half of this land. You could put a building. Then you would have floor area ratio, which is another planning acronym where you would have a percentage, and that percentage, it would be, let's say, 50%. And that would be 50% of the total area of the property. And what that would result in is when you multiply, say, 50% times the area, that is your total floor area that you can have. So one, you know, so your coverage might be, for argument's sake, sorry, something just happened. Your coverage might be, say, for argument's sake, 1,000 square meters, but your FAR might be 3,000 square meters. It means you could technically possibly have a three-story type building. So and such spaces would be restrictions along the side of the property. So these would allow for future municipal services that you know, you might need to get a pipe from this side to over here. And then that would allow you to run a pipe along the boundary line without actually appropriating anything. You have an existing, what they call omnibus servitude within it, which would give you the right to put that pipe or infrastructure down the side. But I don't want to go too much into the planning terms. Just to note that there are planning implications. Now, in the past, these planning implications perhaps would not have mattered because they're not criminal offences. But now, under spatial planning and land use management, or what we refer to as SPLUMA, which was passed a few years back, but came into operation 1st of July, ground planning offences are now criminal offences jailable for up to 20 years jail. So you sit in a situation where you expropriate land, sorry, the road part by the bottom here, And it might be under certain circumstances that the remaining part of the structures which remain on the building, on the property, might now technically fall foul of certain town planning legislation. Of course, the owner hasn't committed a crime, as it's by statute by expropriation acts the situation has arisen. But nevertheless, the owner is now lumped with a long-term problem. Because when they want to add on additional buildings or things like that, the first thing is going to see will say is, oh, that you're over your coverage factor and so on and so forth. And it creates long-term problems. So we don't technically see it as a crime now because expropriation is a legal, lawful thing. But I think it's something which the department needs to take into account. And obviously, I guess that's when, as part of the compensation package, that is also factored in. So that it regularizes the main property in terms of the planning legislation, so the owner is not lumped with the problem. So I just wanted to point that out, that we historically have hundreds of thousands of expropriations that effectively do this, but the spatial record is not correct. I will show you another example. Sorry, before doing so, one other note, because it's important later on with one of the other items I mentioned. This is an elevated right versus a ground right. You could also have, maybe there could be a tunnel or something underneath which you can't actually see. So you have multiple spatial rights above each other. And this becomes important later on when we talk about the register, because so often we talk about maintaining a register, but it's a textual register. And you lose this valuable information, visual information, where you can no longer tell, well, where is this? You can see the text, but where? This is just a typical farm situation. This is a road that runs through here. You've got an element of road that comes up here and out here. Now, again, these are actual expropriations that took place, but yet the cadastral did not reflect it. There's nothing wrong with the cadastral. This is that the process, for whatever reason, we presume monetary reasons, was never completed. Of course, this I've got some points on the side. Spatial record is not complete. It records only the textual information is recorded in the deeds office, the endorsement against the deed. But information was lost. Visual aspects of it cannot be seen by the general public. The areas are, of course, wrong. The farmer doesn't own the full extent. What's here is a road, but invariably a road reserve width, more so than the tar surface that actually been expropriated. And this, of course, leads them to unfair questions within, let's say, for example, the state's land, who owns what. Well, yeah, maybe that might be a percent or two incorrect because of such features like this. Of course, there's another wider problem that the farmer is lumped with the problem. If the farmer now wishes to do a development up here, he is going to have to either barter and push the department to have their land registered and assimilated, or he is going to have to pay the cost because he can no longer do his development without having precise definition of where this down is. So there are knock-on costs if this process is not complete. I wanted to just touch briefly on what vesting actually means. The best thing is to effectively give the immediate fixed right of present and future enjoyment. And I know it talks about vesting in the act, which is fine, but it's important that you understand this, that you're not actually taking, in some ways, transfer of ownership. And when I speak about vesting here, I'm talking about the partial expropriation of the property, not where you're expropriating in full the entire property. Because this becomes important further on. The Expropriation Act does not deal with any registration or transfer matters. causes the transfer and, of course, the registration of that expropriated or vested land. It's very important that you understand that an endorsement takes place. When the notice is submitted to the deed office, no new title deed is issued. It's simply endorsed on that title deed that it's been an expropriation. The problem here is the state cannot alienate land to a third party unless it's first taken transfer of that property. So when you expropriate the entire property, there's no problem. You'll take a certificate of title and then transfer it to someone else. The big problem is a partial expropriation. So what happens is you expropriate partial expropriation. You, in order to take a transfer or possession or take a title deed of that, you need a diagram. Our law stipulates in both the Deeds Act and the Land Survey Act that there can be no title deed without a diagram. So while you might have your expropriation notice endorsed on the title deed, you will never be able to get transfer of that land into a separate title, not under the current Expropriation Act. You're going to have to claim a land surveyor's diagram. And of course, if you intend expropriating part of a large farm for, let's say, a township for some public purpose or public interest, and you want to pass on such property rights to certain individuals, you won't be able to do that. This Act does not deal with transfer matters. So essentially what I'm saying here is partial expropriations require a diagram. If you're going to register them and take ownership, aside from vesting, which is very different. So this, I just want to take you briefly through a very quick process of how it happens. You have the notice, you have what's called a sketch plan that's attached to the notice, and this gets obviously sent on the owner, and then sent to the deeds office where it's endorsed on the title deed. Now, the problem is that there's no special record in the Surveyor General's office. The sketch plan got filed in the Surveyor General's office, which means you won't have no separate property. You only have vesting. No one knows where it is unless you actually...
Chairperson, point of order, please. Chairperson, can we ask the other members, if they want to have a discussion, to have it outside, please. I'm disturbed by their discussion speaking. They don't even pay attention to what he said. So please, can we just get that order, please?
Thanks, Honourable Kunaba. I request the members that if we have to converse, consult each other, could we kindly lower the tone so that we are not that audible that other people can be added to our conversation. I appreciate that.
Because we don't want to respond directly to some of the questions, but you must do that. Because in Parliament we are allowed to contest. And I do feel Honourable Kunaba must be the only one from one party. But Parliament, what we talk all the time, you are correctly putting what the rule is saying. You can't say to other members, go outside and speak outside. It's disrespectful. Even to the rules that you think is changing. You must be able to say to him, please, don't do that. We are allowed to speak here, even amongst each other. We will not speak loud, of course, or anything. But you can't say to us, go outside. Who is he to say that to us?
I am.
You have no authority, you have no right to tell us to go outside. I'm addressing the rhythm of speech. I'm speaking back.
Honorable Ndodi, Honorable Kunaba, I would like you to remember that we've invited people to make presentations. It's our responsibility to give them a hearing. And it's also our responsibility as members of Parliament to respect each other. So I would encourage us that we do respect each other. But if we have to consult and converse, kindly do it in such a manner that it's not loud and make everybody part of your conversation. Yes, sir.
So in way, Honourable Chairperson, that's exactly what I'm asking. Respect. Because we are having a presentation in front of us. I'd like to hear, even in Parliament, If price is too high, then the speaker has place. At least if you have respect for each other members, then you will lower your voice in such a way that at least those who want to listen to what the presenter is saying can hear what he is saying. Thank you.
Members, I'm sure that point has been adequately covered. I believe that members do have respect for each other, unless you want to prove me wrong. Could you kindly continue with your presentation, sir?
Thank you, Chair. Relating to partial appropriations, so investing, there's no separate diagram. The problem is within the SG system, no one knows where it is. You have to, while there's a filing, obviously, in the deeds office of the sketch plan, you pretty much have to go and pull it out if you want to find out what's going on. This is a bit of a time-consuming thing. You know, we shouldn't be doing this in this modern digital era. The other thing is that the cadastral base plan, the textual record in the deeds office would obviously record an expropriation. But the division part has no record of such rights. You have incorrect asset, state asset registers. It's a big problem because you expropriate some of the land. But what do you put on your state asset register? You can't put down the whole property because you don't have it. You know, you need a unique reference to refer to it. And this is controlled by the Chief of State General's Office or the Surveyor General's Office who issue the land parcel numbers. It affects planning and fears of government because they're not aware of what might be there. No one ever goes so far as to pull out title deeds and do a full audit every day. You have planning implications, which I alluded to earlier. You have effectively tenure and security because you have a spatial record is no longer bricked. There's sketch plan uncertainties. What is the exact area? What are the exact dimensions? These things create uncertainty in ownership and tenure security. You have uncertainty of the remaining area, you have buyer-seller uncertainty. You have stagnated further development. The owner of, let's call it, the remainder part of the property will have, he might want to do development, and the lack of having a separate title would restrict further development or at least incur some costs on his part. Of course, landowner, every landowner, be it the state or private sector, has a right to have certainty of those land boundaries. Given this, we believe that there is a solution to this, and we believe that all reference to sketch plans should be deleted. Should be replaced by a personal land surveyor's diagram. Now, in our written submission, we've got a definition of diagram, which is in the Land Survey Act. It covers various aspects of a diagram. It covers a land surveyor preparing a diagram, which is exactly the same as submitted to the SG's office, it's just not approved by you. So, for all intents and purposes, it's surveyed, it's accurate, it legally complies with all the boundaries and other aspects, it's just not approved. The definition also includes, obviously, an option of or approved diagram, but we believe that definition can be suitably replaced, the definition of diagram can be replaced wherever sketch plan is written. This means you have certainty of position, location, area, and dimensions. Secondly, we believe that, and now there's two options, there's either option two, and I'll come to the option three just now. In order to create a diagram, so you expropriate a portion of land, you have to create a diagram. A subdivisional diagram in the case of where you're taking ownership of the land, and of course a servitude in the case of you just acquiring a use right over a property. Now, the use right is not a problem because you can just frame a servitude diagram, but we're specifically talking now about dominion transfer or dominion ownership of the land itself. The moment you frame a subdivisional diagram, you have banning. There's two thoughts within our industry. Some will argue that expropriation trumps all other legislation. Another thought will say, another part of industry will say, no, you still need plain consent.
I would tend to be swayed by the fact that expropriation trumps everything else. We're only dealing with ownership here. We're not dealing with uses and permissible uses and changing zoning, etc. The Constitution has a clause, I don't know the number offhand, but it talks about where you have a insecure form of tenure, the Parliament has passed legislation to allow you to have secure tenure. And I believe that through the Expropriation Act, this can be done. Now, it would have to be done not as a submission to the SG, it would have to be done a way of serving the document, the diagram on the Surveyor General's office. That way the Surveyor General can say, similar to like a court action or court order, I have no choice but to approve it. So we have a clause there we would like inserted to say that the appropriation method and diagram or subdivisional diagram, it could even be called vesting diagram, but what you call it is not important. The concept of a diagram, the diagram part is important one. The print diagram shall be served on the relevant offices of the Surveyor General and Register of Deeds, provided further that the Surveyor General shall, where the subdivisional diagram accompanies the expropriation notice, approve the subdivisional diagram of examination. It has to go through the examination process, but this is a way in which we believe, obviously the lawyers I think would have to check out, but it's possible to have that diagram approved, and then that will allow the deeds office to issue a separate title deed for that expropriation without having to undertake all kinds of planning processes. The third option, which is, well, I would say third option, the second option in relation to item two, is to add a clause that in the event of a partial expropriation of land, the process must be completed by way of the registration of subdivisional diagram within 1 year. The drawback of this is depending on the region or the municipality or the province, there might be legislation which will compel you to undertake various planning consents. And those planning consents could be rejected, which means you would forever remain a vested owner and not a separate title deed owner. That concludes most of my power presentation. I'd like to just talk to a few of the written submissions we made earlier, specifically my item 10. And this is basically a follow-on from what I've just mentioned now. It's basically saying that there must be a registered diagram that gets framed. We can no longer have the spatial cadastral record not reflecting reality. Then on my item 11, and this deals with section 84B and C of the Act of the Bill. And this so section 9 of the bill, read with 84BC, creates a possibility to simply vest or take possession of the of a portion of the property. No mention is made of the transfer and registration of the expropriated immovable property. So what we're essentially saying is that, I've alluded to earlier, a specific section should be created which section makes compulsory that a land surveyor be appointed to undertake all the necessary steps that a partial expropriated property could conceivably, as such that a partially expropriated property could be conceivably registered by way of a separate title, and that in general all expropriated property be registered in the Surveyor General's office and deeds office. Item 6 is another item I'd like to highlight. This deals with the delegated power. As land surveyors, we often have to deal with the bureaucracy of some government departments. And there's a tendency at times to delegate to a person. And this is very problematic to us because people can't leave, they fall sick, they resign. And it's as a practicing land surveyor in public practice, this is very, very frustrating. We would like to see the minister appoint only a position or a rank. Not a person per se. So when that person leaves their rank and another person is aspect is my item 9, which deals with consultation for municipality. There's in the bill, items 6.1, 6.2c and 6.4, it basically stipulates that where you're tendering, expropriating, you have to engage with the municipality, inquire about services and such other aspects. And then it goes on to actually say that if they don't respond, then it's taken that they are agreeable to the expropriation, basically. They've got nothing to add to it. That is very, very problematic, not so far as the ownership of the expropriation goes, but as far as the use of that land goes, because if they do respond, it gives every single objector the right to then appeal, because they can say the municipality already had a predetermined outcome. So we have a big problem around that, and we should consider reviewing any. It's one thing to get information from a municipality, but it's nothing to ask them for an opinion on a matter where you're going to have to undertake a planning process for the use of that land and another space. I think that will make it a very compromised issue. And then the last aspect is the my item 19, which deals with the expropriation register. We believe we live in a, okay, use the term Google Earth kind of world. Everything is visual. People want to see visual data. Having textual data is a problem because people will say, well, where is it? Is there anything underneath it, anything above it? I want to see it visually on Google Earth, on cell phones, and things like this. So if the department changes certain wordings of the Act to force the registration of the partial expropriation, then it would be recorded. Then it doesn't matter where the registers get to, Public Works or Deeds Office, because there is a register for that, and it's a registered diagram of some sort. If, however, the department doesn't see the need to, let's say, update the spatial record, then we have a problem, because the cadastral systems have become less and less reflective of the reality on the ground. So, whenever there's a register created, the owner responsible, the entity responsible for that register, obviously has a duty to keep it up to date and record various things. The moment you say, for example, let's keep this register at the Deeds Office, and we'll get this by a general to just record the spatial sketch plans, they're not responsible. Processes break down. They didn't receive the paperwork. There has to be one entity responsible. We would like to see the Surveyor General, who has the spatial capabilities in this country, or acts essentially as the spatial arm of government, to be able to have GIS-type information of these things, where the various attributes, expropriation number, processes, statuses, documents that are attached to the, that go with the expropriation, can be attached to the to the spatial record. Mr. Chair, that concludes what I wanted to highlight. There are other factors in my report, but thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for your contribution, comments, questions. We start with Honorable Dlamini, followed by Honorable Zitole and Masam.
Thank you, Chair. My question is on the issue of the on the proposal, where it allows things for TMSA separate entities. I'd like to get a clear understanding, and I'll base it back on the people that you put there. We showed a part of the whole train and part of the road. So does it mean on that piece of land where you've got the road that has been expropriated, that part of the area? I'm saying that the state must only go get a separate entity for that piece that is the intentions of the owner of that property. Is that the proposal? And secondly, I think the will be critical that in all these conversations and institutions that are presented here, that the issue of land is a critical issue, especially for people who are landless in this country. Because we seem to come with all these technicalities that take half and take a piece, the state to create a lot of problems and all those things. Because here the issue in this country is that the land must be appropriated so that we can deal with issues of the issues of the past, so that we can be able to put our people in proper areas and be able to develop the country going forward. So all these technicalities that have been put here in terms of the transit that needs to happen, I think that they shouldn't stop the expropriation of land. The expropriation of land must go forward and we deal with those issues as such, standard issues, but this thing of keep on bringing those issues so that we can stop major development in this country. It cannot go on anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Member.
Thank you, Andrew, Chairperson and Representative. Chairperson, mine is on the presentation, but this is not on this presentation, on the one that is on top there. Because it says the farming case of N, they don't have finally a record of expropriation. It do not exist. What I want to find out, what was the reason of that? Because it says it do not exist, show that there was no expropriation in farming was in my side. And the other question is this one of comment section 4.1, delegation should to the federal rank or position. What does this mean? Because if you say the minister is the position, is not a better rank, this is a minister. What does that mean when you say not to be official who may at any time resign or leave the delegation position? Why what is the reason behind the office? And the other question is that one of coverage factors. It shows us the picture, but it doesn't tell us if any compensation that happened during that time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ambassador, you're next.
Thank you, sir. So I think this was really very technical. But it's interesting as well also to understand all this stuff. But I'm just interested, you know, with these roads. Maybe you've got a road that is going this side, and on the other side you've got a railway that's crossing on top of it, or maybe it can be a railway park. Now the question is, where they cross each other, if we are really to register them, under whose name is that property going to be?
An interesting conundrum you had to the pot. Honorable Sultan. Thank you, Chair. I'm here. We're on the side. The fact that we're sitting behind the fifth minister doesn't mean that we have to support him all the way. Okay. just a comment, two comments. Age dealing with procedures, starting with expropriation bill does not deal with procedures, so on. I would like to get your comment as to whether what you see that there will be sufficiently covered under the regulations that the minister has yet to make. Does it have to be part of the principal, you know, act itself would not suffice because it's a matter of procedure, and it doesn't look like there would be any law cross as it were if they are dealt with the, you know, under regulations. It just makes it so urgent for the minister to come up with the regulations, bring them to us, and then we'll look at them and then we'll pass them to make sure that they fulfill the purpose. So your comment is highly appreciated on that. And the last one is, you know, we personally, I must say that we seriously appreciate your drawing our attention to this detail, you know, regarding, you know, how you deal with shall I say subdivided land in some cases, because where it's not the whole property that is being expropriated, it's often subdivision, and I never knew that there are so much intricacies, you know, that have developed, you know, over time, and the impact, you know, that they can have if they are not attended to in time. And it actually has the impact now on what we've been looking at in the last 1.5 days, so to speak, about the application position as well as the difference between version and actual ownership, you know, if this one to think a little bit deeper, it's got such implications. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Thank you for your contribution, sir. You may respond, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
So, the answer to the first one about the roads, we call it a partial expropriation. I think it was Mr. Lee. We as land surveyors are not actively involved in the decision making of expropriation. We are very much an downstream player. This is where the departments, somewhere state officials said we need to expropriate this, the values are concerned. We might have input at that stage, but we don't get to say how much of this land gets expropriated. At the end of the day, the powers that be will say we're taking off this farm or we're taking the center line plus 20 acres. Our role as land surveyors is to then make it legal, or at least from a spatial perspective, assist in the legality downstream aspect of that. That in no way affects the expropriation. It doesn't slow it down in any way. At the moment those expropriation documents are served on the owner, the state now has possession of that, unless the state's a different possession date. So in relation to those roads and Calcane, that is an ideological, to use that term, determination from some government departments, and they have said we only require 30, 40 meters or whatever it might be. If they chose to expropriate the whole property, then there are no survey implications from our perspective. The second question, I think I've alluded to the answer. The second one, there's no downstream slowing up process. Expropriation has happened, and the development can then start on that land. But what we're saying is it should be completed. It should be a spatial updating of the cadastral record. It shouldn't just be stopped because of lack of money or some other aspect to say, well, they're not our problem. Because the problem becomes someone else's problem and it comes back to haunt you at some point in time. There was I think that deals with Mr. Domini's questions. There was Mr. Sitole's question. Sorry. The question about the does not exist, it actually technically does exist. I mean, the expropriation did take place, those documents exist in the deeds office, or by way of proclamation, the government gazette. So those documents can be found, but what we're saying is from a visual perspective, when you take the Surveyor General's data and you put it together on a map, we're saying you can't see it, it's not there. And so the question is, well, why is it not there? Well, because the process has never been historically completed in full, I presume, for monetary reasons. So in that context, I'm saying it does not exist. It does actually exist, it's quite legal. It's just that as we move into a digital world, we say there's a problem here. We need to have issues completed properly. Regarding issuing of rank, we raised that purely from the perspective of trying to add clarity to the item 4.1. It reads, the minister says either generally in relation to a particular property or in relation to a particular case, delegate or assign to an official of the department. Now that could be read as saying, well, you know, we're going to delegate and then they gazette a delegation to say Mr. Ndlovu has the power within the public works to determine this. Now clearly, what happens if Mr. Ndlovu resigns? He still has that power. Okay, that's wrong. What happens if he gets sick and goes for holidays for 6 months? So therefore, we've added that comment just to add clarity to say that it could be read either way, delegated to an official. We say it needs to be that tightened up to say a rank in government. I think to add to that, it shouldn't just be one official. But even if it is rank, even if it is director general, the problem is, well, what happens if the director general is on the sea for 2 months? You know, there should be various people, I think, that could be able to assist in taking that, but there should have to be one to care for the person. There was a question about the whole planning issues and the value of that. As I mentioned earlier, we don't do the valuations.
when, so we can't comment on whether those factors were taken into account in the evaluation process. We obviously just deal with the registration of the rights afterwards. But I presume that would have been a negotiation between the valuer and the farmer. If the farmer didn't raise it or the homeowner didn't raise it, then maybe none of them realized that would be the implications. I think certainly going forward, would Spruma be a criminal offense now? Not that an offense has been created, but it creates a tremendous burden on the property owner that's got the balance of the land left. He's going to now say, but hold on, I'm going to have to incur quite large costs to fix up and comply with, in terms of the remaining area of land, that my building is either too large or too small, or I don't have enough parking, or I've got too much parking. These planning issues, but that would be very much evaluation and negotiating process that goes forward at that early stage in the expropriation. With regards to the question around crossing a road and a railway line, you cannot have land, you cannot have dominion, which is the ownership of the land, that cannot cross. So if, for example, the railway came first, and they appropriated not a servitude, but the dominion, and then later on a road came along, they would obviously only be able to get up to where the railway is and stop, and then we're past the railway and continue. As far as servitudes go, there's nothing stopping the overlapping of two servitudes. It would purely be a case of who is the owner of the servitude, which is the department of taxation. Obviously, an owner can't have a servitude. Crossing with the owner of the railway, they cannot have a servitude over their own servitude. It's kind of like the road department can have a servitude over Transnet and so on. So from a servitude perspective, you can have cross overlapping servitudes, but from a land perspective, no, you cannot. There must only be one owner, as another one will stop and then continue offers. Then there was the issue of regarding whether this proposal around the diagram, putting that into the regulations. That might be a bit problematic because I don't think it has the same power or force as putting it in the Act. You see, the Land Survey Act will stipulate that a document must be submitted, that all the statutory consent must be in place, and the Surveyor General will then consider it. And if you put it in the regulations, they will turn around and say, but hold on, your regulations don't overturn our Act. And we therefore, even though your regulations say this, we must consider all statutory applications. And that's why I think it's probably better not to leave it to the regulations, but rather have it in the Act so you have that force to it, almost like a court order where you serve it on the Surveyor General office. So they have no choice but to accept it. I think it's something that needs to, I think, be considered with state attorney or something, and it needs to be headed up in a civil manner around registration of expropriated land. Something like that. You're not getting into the nitty-gritty of how they registered, you know, they're dealing with the Deeds Registry Act, etc., etc. You want to give them that force and that power to say, you will register this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for quite a technical, but I think appropriately technical thing. Just in regard to the sketch plan versus survey, but the abundant question from my sisters is that at an earlier phase of the process, you said that might be happening. But for expropriation, you need proper surveying, proper registration, and so on. So we won't necessarily remove every reference to sketch plan in the bill, but the point that you're making is well taken. And then more concerning remarks around. Obviously, we need to get alignment between the Survey Act, the Deeds Registry Act, this Act, possibly even Spruma as well, and how best to manage that.
So we will certainly pay a great deal of attention to that issue. Quite which decision we make and how we do that. We'll obviously seek legal advice as well to do that. But we should be, you know, obviously very sympathetic, not just for the purposes of discovery, but for our general property management function of the Department of Public Works, to really getting better registration of properties, better digitalized, and so forth, so that it's a big problem across the board, not just so let me not go into detail other than to prompt, to thank and to prompt. Just on, also on the official matter, the small matter, but we'll also speak to the advice. Obviously, the intention is not a surname that the delegation goes to, but to an official meaning. But we'll keep, if you think that's how we'll be, that is the first step, but we'll check on it. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. Parliamentary legal advisor.
Thanks, Professor. I also would like to add my little voice to the issue of delegation. One of the important principles of delegation is that, first of all, I think the challenge would be where you suggesting or recommending that maybe delegate to more than one person because of the challenges and so on. The challenge with that is when you're delegating, first of all, you delegate to a specific person and in writing for all one of the principles. But the most important one is that the person who holds power, which in this instance is the minister, will always be responsible for that power, which means if there are challenges in respect of that person being sick or whatever, and challenges that are anticipated, then the minister will still be responsible for whatever function needs to be performed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time and contribution. The next presentation, Congress of South African Trade Unions, Kusatu. Of my son, I'm welcome, sir. As soon as you are ready, you may commence with your presentation.
Okay, thanks very much, Chetelson. I know we're in a bit of a graveyard shift, so I'll try to be as short and sweet as possible. Chetelson, my name is Matthew, my surname is Parks, I'm from Kusatu's Parliamentary Office. And just to thank the committee for affording us the chance to contribute as head of the committee, our two cents of thought around this important and we think progressive and useful bill. I think Chair would also like to assure the committee, even beyond this bill, that we are always available to assist the committee on any issue, as comrades, as colleagues, etc. I think Chair, we have participated extensively in the NEDLAC process on this bill, and I think we must compliment the department's legal advisor and his team advocate bosses by remembering the surname correctly. I think they reapproached all of us, be it from labor, be it from business, be it from community, in a very open and engaging, honest approach, which really helped to address most of this kind of technical issues one would always have on bills. I think Chair also appreciate the committee extending the deadline for submissions and kind of availing pre-date submissions, which I think shows Parliament's commitment to having an inclusive win-win approach towards such an important and possibly sensitive bill from cousins. And I think, Chair, it's also my first time here, Deputy Minister attending public hearings in my time at Parliament. So I think that's a positive sign from the Ministry to hear people from the public points of view and even fellow MPs. So that's a positive point, Chair, for them. So we know that's in the character of a Deputy Minister over the years to always engage. I think that we can also say from Kusatu's side, when we engage in that, like we had specifically targeted two of our affiliates be part of this process, which is National Union of Mine Workers, because of the interests of our mineral rights, and also the Food and Allied Workers Union, because those are affiliates dealing with mineral rights and farming issues. And of course, in terms of our broad ideological purposes, we view this bill as being very importantly linked to the issue of mineral resources, the issue of land reform, and so forth. Chair, I'm not going to read out the mission, but just to kind of run through our summary of this, colleagues obviously will read in their own good time and so forth. But I think, Chair, we support this bill. we broadly support and welcome this bill. We view it not as a panacea for all our challenges, but we don't want to be diminished in that regard. But we view it as an important tool towards having a developmental and a capacity of the state which is progressive. Chair, much of you has been made in the media and I think even in this hearing is about job losses. So let me say that the trade unions with 1.9 million members will be the first to be worried about any job losses. We've yet to see any convincing evidence of any type which says that a single job would be lost because of having a very clear bill which provides for cooperation. Chair, from our point of view, that we view this as a necessary update of government's legislative tools. Colleagues have been aware that the existing Act is 1975. I'm sure that since we all love our democratic 1996 constitution, logic says that updated Prohibition Act will reflect the equal to the values of a democratic or progressive modern constitution. Surely we wouldn't want to stick with the bill from whose Prime Minister was President, B.J. Foster. Comrade Jeremy was in prison that time, or on the right prison. So surely, let me jump back to the presentation, Comrade Chair. Let me not distract myself.
Good folks, just a second. I'd like you to remind you, let's give the presenter a chance to make the presentation. And I would also like to dissuade you from interjecting because somebody else will interject and then you'll not be happy with it. So let us just give the presenter a chance and then wait for our turn to ask questions at later stage. Thank you. Someone just, your microphone, please.
I'm just saying, surprised all the presentation was blue and all the shoes are excited. I don't know why.
Please continue.
Yeah, no, but we are guilty of supporting the color red, Comrade Chair. So we put it deliberately. And if blue is a controversial color nowadays, it's all thicker. No, the most thing, I think we are comfortable that this bill is in line with international norms. I think, Chair, we don't believe there's a single country in the world that doesn't have expropriation, doesn't have legislation enabling it. So, Chair, contrary to the media commentary, we don't view this as a stepping stone towards North Korea-type socialism and all the kind of fear-mongering that's being kind of thrown about in the media. So we view this in the line of the transformatory objectives of government, the ANC, the Freedom Charter, and we welcome all those objectives, Chair. We support them strongly. I think, Chair, for us to summarize why we support this bill, why we think it should be supported by the overwhelming majority of society, including business, is that it provides one single legal framework, which is binding for everybody. If memory serves me correct, Chairperson, we have about 150 different types of laws, from national to municipal bylaws, from right, which provide for different elements or phases of expropriation. So here's the one single thesis, which is very clear for everybody. It provides very nicely, specifically, legal checks and balances, which protect both government and the public, and the affected persons. It even protects business, if one wants to be honest. There's provision for legal, for recourse to the court, if you're not happy with any part of expropriation. But what we also view is useful to have a progressive step by the department, so that there are limits to time frames. So you won't have a current situation where, if I'm not happy with a compensation offer from government, I can settle in court for many, many years, and delay badly needed public infrastructure, road expropriation, etc. Chair, I think also it's helpful now that government has now got in place the legislation for the value in general. We think that, Chair, it's important because also the issue of compensation or market value for compensation. Chair, we view that currently the situation has been extremely abused. We had a situation of a mala game reserve about 2 years ago, if I'm usually correct, where I think compensation was about 800 million rand, give or take. And that basically defeats the entire budget, or the majority of the budget for the Department of Land Reform for the year. Again, the rest of the country cannot get compensation, cannot get expropriation or land restitution. So for us, Chair, it's useful that we have now a value general in place who can provide a neutral, objective basis for determining what is the compensation that we paid. Chair, I think one could even quote the former Minister of Finance, Sir Emmanuel, who said the market is amorphous. What is the market value? It can be anything. the rank goes up today, goes down tomorrow. It's very subjective. I think, Chair, instead of definition of property, we wouldn't want to see it limited to only land at some percentage of space. I would say this thing is a broader, to inclusive definition, because you might find a couple of years ago that I think there was an issue around the internet domain name of Bafana Bafana Bambisa device, that somebody in Argentina or New York or Europe had kind of basically privatized the domain name of Bafana Bafana. So we wouldn't want to limit this just simply to land issues. You may find other property which government needs to use public interest. So around the issue of compensation, we've deliberately taken a knee-jerk or populist approach to this issue. We are realistic that the majority of expropriation would actually affect our working class members, be it for expanding a freeway next to a township, building a dam, building a bridge, and we wouldn't want to see ordinary teachers who have got home loans now stuck in a situation where they're left to the edge of no property. So that's a conversation we are comfortable with, Jefferson. I think she would also be quite happy with in the department side is to include the history of the acquisition of the property. This current research, we see that as a progressive step in line with the realities of our country and the constitution. And I think it's useful that it's said in black and white, so when a judge deals with issue, he's guided or she is guided by very clear list of issues that must be taken into account. The sentiment of the public interest and even the owner's interest to address those concerns. I think Chekro talks about constitutional issues. We're comfortable that the Constitution adequately articulates here. It talks about addressing the legacy of apartheid. It talks about it being just and equitable, about access to natural resources, including mineral resources, including water. And it talks about a specific commitment to support land reform. For us, it was a progressive, it was a positive issue, which we strongly support. We can't see any reason why not to support it. I think, Chair, also what's important to us is the providing security and the commitment to providing security for victims of others who lack proper tenure, proper title deeds, unregistered property, rights holders. I think for us, Chair, that's something which we support, which we had mentioned, and I think something which the Department with rural development and land reform need to put a lot of energy towards addressing. So, Chair, I've forgotten to keep up date with the PowerPoint. Chair, I think I'll only propose amendments to it. One is ideological. Whilst we're happy with compensation for ordinary workers to lose their house because of expanding the freeway or a bridge, etc., we view that HAI expropriated land in District 6 because I'm white, I took land from a colored African family, and I now want to get compensation with governments. We view that's morally wrong. I shouldn't be compensated for having participated in this. I can put it crudely, Jefferson. We know that in a lot of cases, but it's a fundamental moral issue that we shouldn't compensate this. We know government is a different position, but Francisco Sato were quite clear that should be included. The other two issues, Jefferson, whilst we support providing for access to courts, of course you can't take that away, but also believe that it's important to insert a clause before that which applies for arbitration. We have the view, Chairperson, quite strongly that courts are alienating for ordinary persons. Most of them don't address all the fancy technicalities of the law. They can easily be overwhelmed by fancy lawyers. Lawyers are expensive. The courts take long to deal with issues. And of course, the inherent balance of power for ordinary residents of a rural village in Limpopo is always going to be against them when it comes to the courts. So we view that application to be a step just before the courts, which can help to fast track on a more progressive, more balanced approach to issues. I think there was a reference to it in the 2008 draft, if I'm correct, which talked about, I think, expropriation advisory panel, if I get the name right. I think that could be a useful first step before going to the court rules. Chair, I think the last issue we had a smaller concern around was that the ministerial power delegates sufficiently provided for. I want to say that, Chair, that maybe if you avoid a situation where you find backlogs inadvertently set up on the road. I think lastly, Chairperson, is that we already mentioned because we are an ideologically based federation, we wanted to respond to some of the sort of historical attacks, not based on facts on the bill, which you've seen flying around in the media. Chair, we really feel this bill is in line with international norms. If nothing, if climate change is nothing to worry about the collapse of the economy, wealth, etc. It's positive that it provides one legal framework for the entire country. It does provide checks and balances we feel are fair. There is recourse to courts. There's appropriate limits to time frames. And I think the Parliament really would not have waged those systems in other cars, even to the extent of providing for moving the Christmas holidays in the time frames. That kind of detail, Chair. Chair, we view it as in line with the transformation objectives of government. Chair, this is a conversation. We're happy that the progressive transformation objectives of government are dealt with, included there, such as the history of the uses of the property, the values that will play a progressive role. But again, Chair, I think that we don't want to compensate people who benefited from Fase's robbery. And I think, lastly, Chair, to conclude that the committee and the department shouldn't be overwhelmed by the sort of opposition to the bill. That's part of democracy. And lastly, Chair, I think to pass the bill, we encourage the members to pass the bill. We support it, but obviously in line with our two or three proposed recommendations for amendments. Thanks, Chair, so I hope I wasn't too long.
Thank you, sir. Members, comments, questions, areas for clarification? I have noted Honorable Shibambu, Honorable Sultani, General Akbar Khrunavast, and Honorable Sami. Honorable Mr. Adams, are you raising your hand or you are not? You are. We can comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I've been sitting here listening. I have no problem to have a political discussion about the question of expropriation. But it looks like it is a narrow technical discussion about diagrams and topography and all those other things of what should happen. But maybe the new context. Is that prior 2002, when the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act was passed into law, minerals more or less used to belong to private individuals. And there was more than 2.5 billion rands, or more than that, in terms of various estimations. What mineral rights are. But once the act was passed, all mineral rights belong to the state. Because all of us accept legitimacy of the state, the democratically elected government. We might have different political views in terms of whether they are in pursuit of a correct agenda or not, but it looks like all of us, including the right wing forces like the Freedom Front, accept legitimacy of the current government to be the custodian of all mineral rights. Out in that air discussion of an expropriation process could say that we should say that the state should appropriate all land and be custodian of all land. Because anything else is not going to take this country forward. And this is proven by the fact that the land buying process which has happened, not even of this occasion, the land buying process that has happened since 1994 has dismally failed, even as your own targets in government. The intention was to redistribute or to buy back 30% of the land by 2015. 2015 has passed. And less than 8% of the land was bought back, and millions of rands were spent trying to buy back land that was colonially taken from the black majority and Africans in particular. And I would think that we have a political discussion there in terms of what we should do, not to have a technical discussion of expropriation of pieces and pieces of land that want to build a road, want to build a house, which and what happens in Jerusalem, we'll deal with those issues later. And we have a principled agreement that is faithful, custodian of all land, as a political agreement. Custodian of all land, and then we repeat according to what it is. For agricultural purposes, it must continue to be used. It can utilize for such. They can apply for agricultural rights, for residential rights, for a variety of other uses, for industrial purposes. Whoever wants to utilize the land for all these other purposes can do so. And if they do not use it for the purpose that they have applied for, it is then redirected to those who use it much more successfully. I can tell you that if your conception of expropriation of land is the one which says that what you expropriate pieces of land and pay for this, pay for that, it will not take you anywhere. We're just revolving around the same question of which defined the first period. And I think the Constitution more or less empowers a democratic parliament to pass legislation and an expropriation law as a law of general application, basically which affects all of us. Not as a case-by-case issue, say this one is the affected, therefore we must have a remedial action or a redress action on him or her as an individual. It says that expropriation should be considered as a law of general application, whatever the Constitution of South Africa says. Another thing that we discuss in expropriation, we should locate it within that particular context and would then take it forward. Anything else is not going to be successful. It is trying to apply a mechanical solution to a broader political problem. And crisis which has defined South Africa because of colonialism, because of apartheid disposition and displacement of our people. So there must be a deeper discussion in terms of how we approach this question because I don't think that we are addressing the process. I'm not even concerned to say conception of these issues. Of course, if you have to relocate families to build a road and everything, that there can be a mechanism to take care of how they relocate. But in principle, there must be agreement that as a democratic elected government and state be custodian of all land, and then that will be the basis upon which we are distributed to all South Africans for productive uses in agriculture, industry, and for residential purposes. Educational purposes as well, because as things stand to build the University of Mbola, we have to spend millions of rand buying that piece of land where the university must be bought. We have to build it. We spend about R1 billion in Malamala, in Bushbridge, to buy a game farm, which is taking the control of those who owned it before. Is that what we want to do in terms of what? I think that let us have that political discussion. Maybe if we disagree, we can agree that we disagree that there must be an approach that says that the land must be custodian of all land. And then that would be an electoral question in terms of how we deal with it when we go to ask for the people of South Africa to vote for us for 2019. And I'm sure that any reasonable person will understand that. Let us have land as the whole of land and all property as being under the custodianship of the state. So that it will not be that people talk for whatever purpose. So that is a political discussion. I think we should be interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The next was Honourable Fritan.
Thank you, Chair. I've found that I come face to face, of course, not. Now I listen to this.
Send them in the streets. Now could be a fundamental question. Not many. How on earth does COSATU hope to achieve, to secure any meaningful and lasting benefit
for its members through this bill, saying that it is such a consistent failure to achieve that. And I say consistent failure because every year towards June, the country raises itself for rolling mass strikes, simply because COSATU is unable to secure lasting, meaningful, you know, benefits for its members. See, in the your submission, you refer to a so-called like minerals, which have become a hot spot in the recent past. And there it has been demonstrated very clearly that you hold hardly any influence, let alone, you know, power. You seem to be, as it were, just making some noise, you know, on the sides. So it's all the money getting out of the country by the minute in billions. How do you hold to achieve? I noticed that to a greater extent you put a lot of emphasis on the fact that you supported this bill mainly to assist the ANC, you know, in its transformative. So it looks like you're no longer existing for yourselves, but existing just to support the ANC. When do your members benefit? How do you think you'll benefit out of this? Or are you just supporting it just so that you can remain a lovable, you know, partner of the ANC? Thank you.
Honorable Fratani, thanks on that love note. General Akbar Kunava, I've noted.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, listen, let me first ask a technical question. It is on page 3, the determination by court. The charter says courts should not play an early determining role with regard to deciding upon the merits and so on. Now, at what stage do they see it?
Honorable Shivan, please, could you kindly lower your voice whilst you are speaking? Everybody has listened to you. I would expect you to return the same courtesy to members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. At what stage does the start to see that the court should start playing a role? That's a technical one.
The other question here, person, is actually, I want to start with a question about the far right political party named the EFF, which also has an obsession with, and that is that the land has been stolen and fixed and everything like that. And I see COSATU also seems to have an obsession with that. Now my question is now, if they say theft, at what stage do they refer to? When did the theft take place? Was it when King Shaka, when he went in war with the Kosas and the Basutus and the Swazis and took the land? Was it with the British Empire when they colonized South Africa, Lesotho, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Swaziland? When did this take place? Was it, if you come to the 1913 Land Act, where South Africa was under British rule? Or is it in 1961, when the previous government actually became in power with a republic? Who should, according to them, should they be responsible for this theft of land that took place? My last question, Jefferson. What Kusat is actually saying here is there should be no compensation. It is actually nationalizing of the land. How can they see if their views are followed? What benefit would it have to the members of Kusatu economically if you do that and there's an economy or the economy collapses because of that? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khunavat, Honorable Lamini.
Thank you, Chair. So I think it's high time that COSATLAS, they agree and acknowledge that they have the useless. Especially with the acknowledgement here that they just, everything that they're doing it on behalf of the MC, not the Akron workers. Because one of the sticking points of this bill is this thing of compensation. It's COSATLAS saying they support this bill, but at the same time they say they're opposing compensation. So it's people who are confused as far as the concern. So that's why I'm saying they must just agree that they are a survey date. On the issue of the them saying that they're representing workers, I'll give you a simple example of small municipalities. They got funds that were given back by the farm owners, the Afrikaners at that time, where they went back to the municipality and said, we don't want any side, we've made enough money out of this community. Here the funds for free. 20 years later, you find that there's a developer in the small municipalities where majority of the workers are teachers, nurses, and police men and women. When you speak to the developer who has bought this land through the corrupt arrangement, ANC government, when you speak to this developer and say, this house now is 900,000, can you break it down? How much is the top structure? You find that the top structure is 40% of the actual house that it must be sold to the same worker that is saying they are representing. So the farm that was given for free to the municipality on behalf of the community, all of a sudden the same workers that they claim to be representing, they must spend 300,000 just on the land itself, because the top structure is only costing the 300,000 of that farm. So those people are not seriously representing the workers. That is why we've got majority of our workers living in a stress condition, because they are subjected to pay 20 years for a house, which half of that money is the money on the land that was not even bought or that was stolen, and then the MC government they continue with that same corruption. On the last issue, here COSATLAS is talking about the determination by the court. COSATLAS is not in support of the role provided by courts. There, I think that must never be accepted by anyone, because they still continue what they demand and the rest of them they accept on the judiciary. Because themselves, they don't have the expected of saying to our courts and the judiciary, they don't have the expertise to be able to deal with this matter. We'll never respect and support anyone who attacks our judiciary in this kind of wicked doing. Thank you.
Honourable Member, thank you. Honourable Masango.
Yeah, Chair, I think our people here, we are here because we have the bill in front of us. And we can talk about all these other things. So that I'm not ever going to ask you, sir, to even to change the bill. So maybe some of the things are actually to be left for another day to discuss, because we want to get assistance in the bill. And I mean, even the presenter that just came now, from COSATLAS actually doesn't assist us at all. He just came and praised all these things that we didn't even present. We wanted someone to assist us actually to see where are they. And even where he assists, the other guys have spoken about this determination. I mean, I don't understand. The trigger, because we said arbitration is very expensive and still it comes with arbitration. I mean, even say people shouldn't go to court. Because I was expecting to tell us to say, let the government be the one that actually go to court so that those poor people that is representing cannot be, so that they remain out of pain. The same with, he's saying in such cases, medical compensation was provided. I mean, there are people working class that actually are bonded with houses. Now, if you say fair, if that person loses his house, what is fair? So some of the things we are listening here actually doesn't even make sense. And I think we should get people that are actually going to assist us so that we can understand what we're sitting for.
Honorable Matan Gutex, Honorable Mrs. Phillips, before I notice you, Honorable Matthew.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the presentation that COSATLAS has given us, unfortunately, the presentation is not numbered. But under the heading proposed amendments, there are three amendments that they propose. Now, I would like the presenter to elaborate on the third one, the ministerial power to delegate. What would Kasato like to see in that regard? Then, Chairperson, we had a presentation yesterday by the Bank Association of South Africa, and they warned against the expropriation bill that will create the risk for bond owners. I want to know what Kusato said is on that. And they also said that the foreign direct investment will be negatively influenced if there is a risk to bond owners. I would like Kusato to respond on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Member, thank you. Honorable Mayor Masia.
Thank you, Chair. Karaj, my question was going to be on the arbitration issue.
Your opportunity for a rejoinder and a rejoinder to the comments made, questions, comments. Thank you, sir. Yes, you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chairperson. Look, I think we're in the limits of our issue in the political but I said that the transition was very well resourced to many of our honourable members. I'm not sure how we define Kusato being dead when it's at 1.9 million living members, which is larger than any political party within the Republic of South Africa and Chevrolet. I think Chair, without being pedantic, it's an insult to workers, to nurses, to members of Denosa, the insult to mining workers in NUM, the insult to the Sakamans battling with pick and pay labor brokers. So, and of course, SACTU, textile workers, who battle with globalization.
Members, just a second, please. Could you kindly extend the courtesy to the presenter to articulate these responses? It will not help us if there's interjections by members while she's speaking. If you so request an opportunity after you spoke, let us do so, but let us respect each other. Once you are speaking, nobody is interjecting. So kindly give the same courtesy to the one who's speaking. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chip. But look, Chip, we're not naive, but politics is politics. It's always a rough game. So we appreciate the nature of a multi-party democracy, etc. But like I can say, Chairperson Kusato is alive, it's well, all its ups and downs. Whether the EFF likes it or doesn't like it. I think Chairperson also got another populist organization. We're not going to chant slogans for the sake of chanting slogans. We dealt with the bill on the basis of this illegal bill. You can't just shout and put hands on the bill. It must be technical stuff, which was sent to the sense of the court of law, the constitutional court, etc., etc. Chair, look, I think it's fair to Honourable Shivamba, it would be a good discussion to have, a broad discussion around the role of ownership of land, mineral rights, etc. And I think Shivamba's right, we've not made nearly enough progress in Africa over 21 years. Chair, I think for Honourable Faitani, how does this bill benefit Kusato members? Yeah, look, we haven't participated in the same government's credit, Chair. As much as we are as the ANC. I think it's not as well known for anything as viewpoints disagree publicly with governments, with the ANC as we need to. I think, Chair, for us, we didn't approach this in a romantic, naive way. We looked at how this impacts upon our members. If we want to take municipalities, for example, Chair, one said we felt we do need to have a conversation for an ordinary worker who's got a bonded property. Because we've seen in the municipality in Limpopo, officials are looted. We've seen the javelin and the roach. Why is a corrupt municipal official, I'll go raise an illegal property to my friends. We'll loot municipal funding for that. It was not naive, Chair, that you can have municipal officials who will abuse the powers. Very far from the national department, very far from the ministry. And it'll be workers who will suffer at the end. Chair, we've seen how that's collapsed in Limpopo. Unfortunately, one at one stage. So, Chair, for us, we want laws which will protect our members. We're none of us are there, but at the front of a court of law, the judge must be guided by words in the law. So, for us, the checks and balances, the time frames, the compensation, how compensation determines the history of the property, all of those things are useful things Chair, from the Boslatani that will protect our members. Chair, I think look, we're not naive around politics. We know class is not an easy issue. There'll be ups and downs, but overall for us, there are more ups than downs. If you need to deliver some different governments from members, just for all the setbacks, but overall, Chair, it's only a progress moving forward. I think, Chair, in terms of Honourable Grindelwald, what we're saying about the court is that judges are not valuables. They're not land surveyors. They're not experts on these issues. They must check the law. What does the law say in black and white? And that we must spend the test 20 years, 10 years on the road. We must protect everybody involved. So I think for us, Chair, that's where we felt that we should look what the 2008 bill has provided for, which is the expropriation advisory panel, if I get the name right, to do a cost-free, a more inclusive, a more user-friendly arbitration type of course before you go to court. The court will always be there. No one can ignore your rights to the court. But before we get to the court, because court cases can take 6 months, it can take 2 years. Lawyers are very expensive. And a village has been become a full lawyer if a municipal official is abusing his power, for example, Chair. I think we're glad to be said we have obsessed with the land stolen legacies. And when did it take place? Well, Chair, we can point to the 1970s in District 6, 2.5 kilometers away, where land is stolen. We're still dealing with that burden today. It's not a theoretical 1652 question. I think you've seen it today. Eight times, my family and my sister finally got some land back many, many years after waiting for so long. I think the law provides for the restitution of land rights around the time since the 1913 to the Land Act. So I think all those things have guided. Our point, Chairperson, was very related to that. We don't think you can compensate theft, but it's a moral principle we really support. Chair, I don't think we'll. By the argument that just precedes the collapse of the economy. Even the United States, even Germany, Britain have got expropriation legislation. It is better to have a clear, clean, very logical, check the balances law which covers everybody, as opposed to having a 1975 expropriation act, which reflects the ethos of a terrible era. Chair, for Honorable Flamini, there's a lot of political rhetoric, so I don't think I need to really respond to those kind of issues. Is it hard to override and so on? I think, Chair, for us, why we find it useful, we're not attacking the judiciary, but I'm going to judge that those are legal experts, they're not land evaluators, they're not land surveyors. Let those be the last course of recourse. First, there's a more neutral, more inclusive, expert level through the expropriation advisory panels engage in an arbitration at regards. Similar to what you have with the DCMA, for example, to avoid workers having to run to very expensive enemy courts. Some honorable Masango, praise you, yeah, okay, alright. I don't know, I mean, one would normally see that we are very critical in government so many times. But again, so as we look at the issue, we don't look at political slogans or so on. I think we mentioned the issue of compensation. We haven't come through it with a populist approach. We said, look, the majority of cases would affect ordinary workers, would affect teachers. You can't go and shop in the deep end. But again, we don't support compensating beneficiaries of parties. So to say, I did not catch the name of the honorable lady sitting here. Look, first, the issue of ministerial power is delegated. We know that the bill provides it to a significant extent. We are really raised it because NUM was concerned about potential inadvertent blockages down the road that such power might be concentrated at a very high level of governments. But there is more really just to check with the Department of Legal Advisors, just to double check that there is sufficient scope for the ministry to delegate powers as when relevant, with obviously all the checks and balances in place, of course. I think lastly, Chair, this is the banking association. How is it actually called bondholders? Look, I've also said, Chair, as many of you don't know, that one of our affiliates is called TASCO, the South African Services and Banking Organization, which is a check-in of banking officials. They're not a lock on this board. And so most of our workers have got home loans. We will not do anything which would jeopardize those interests. But so I said that we'll provide a fairly balanced nuance, which I think covers the benefits of everyone largely. And I think in terms of FDI being negatively affected, in fact, I think it said the opposite should actually be the reality, because businesses will invest where they can make profits. What businesses would want is a clear set of rules, which are very straightforward, which are very fair, clear time frames, clear processes for recourse, etc., etc. Just like workers also need the same set of fair rules, which are open and clear and understandable. So I think so we can't have a situation where we have 1975 parties in a law. You can't have 150 different existing laws. One case set of processes is a useful thing. Chair, I think in conclusion, yeah, maybe we're guilty of thinking, I don't know, if we see that it was fair and logical, it's rational, benefits people, that makes us guilty of thinking, that's fine, we need to take that condemnation. But our approach has been, I think, to see how this will benefit workers, not just now, but 20 years down the road. And also to check us on how will capacitated governments to further deliver on its transformation methods. Chair, I hope I've answered all the questions for this week. Thanks very much.
Thanks. I've noted you, Honourable good talk. The cheapest watch in the room says it's 1:55. I would love to spend the evening with you in this room. I have no other further commitments, so you are at liberty to speak as long as you want. I'll be around. I'll need to talk about tomorrow, but I'll do so after members have made their contribution. Honourable
Judge? I would have preferred to speak after the 15 minutes. But that's fine. Look, Chairperson, I think that I want to make a very straightforward comment. It's not the right way, and it's not a slogan. Our people gathered in 1955 to be city speaker, adopted a rhythm charter that said, all land shall be redivided amongst those who work it. I thought your interest when came here would be to look in the deep if we would be able to appropriate lands for farm workers and not pay that arable land. I thought that would be the interest the immediate worker, maybe you don't have farm workers look at you anymore, I don't know. Well, majority of South Africa's workers you don't have. Even if it's 2 million, they don't belong to COSAG. The majority of the working class in South Africa exist under contract labor in very precarious contracts with capital that your government allows. So, hence the argument that how do we come to a deal, we read all of it, and it said nothing about land that shall be expropriated for workers without compensation. So if you, not some historic redress, like on individual basis, if you know what I mean, like, okay, the Zulus took land from the Swana, and therefore we are going to find those Zulus, and then we're going to take that land and give it to Swana or to the Xhosa. We don't imagine that would be a right-wing way of reading the past in order to correct it. We don't imagine some stable past. Once you have acknowledged that there was a criminal act there in South Africa, including by the Nationalist Party government, then you say, we're going to take all of the land. It must belong to a democratically elected government, so that nobody ever again steals it from the people. And then everybody applies to that democratic government and says, no, at the moment I'm occupying 15 hectares. I'm using them for this. The government say, okay, that's fine. The rest of the 80%, that's what the land value was at. 8% of the land in South Africa belongs to private hands. Majority of it, they're not using it. It's just teaching, making them an unnecessary profit. They're not going to redress as long as they're going to pay for the land. It's a simple argument. It's not a slogan. It's seeking to realize the wishes of the people who attended the Cape Town Conference. You started your presentation here saying Freedom Charter this. This government says this is the year of the Freedom Charter. So what we would have looked for when we came to the deal is the capacity to empower government to declare all of South Africa of all of South Africa's land under the custodianship of the government. And then everybody, white, African, English, Zulu, Xhosa, must come and apply for that land and say, this is what I'm using it for. If you are, if you're not using it for what you say you are using it for, we change. You know, that's a basic point of departure which says we acknowledge the history of the government. Not everything about, you know, 1948. It goes beyond. And not everything is about white people.
Honourable Member, thank you very much. Honourable Deputy Minister. I'm going to try to be ministerial rather than something else. I probably will not succeed in resisting the temptation. What we're busy with is, as a committee, is to deal with the law of general application, essentially. And one is encouraged a very wide range with some few exceptions, which doesn't include the EFF, by the way, so far as the observation I've heard. One is very encouraged that generally just support the direction that we're going. There was a slightly different type of producers in the last hour or so from one particular party. But generally what we've seen is a very broad support, with the exception of the Institute of Race Relations and a few, I think, strange
I apologize, the minister. I'm sorry. You just forgot the comments, people, and that's not right.
No, I agree with you.
They rejected the bill completely.
The Cape Town Chamber of Commerce and Industry rejected it, part of capital. I think those of us who've been present and active, including members of the public who are present here, including the leader, have a good sense. Very widespread support for the direction that we're pursuing, from across all the parties, from the perspective, and indeed from the majority of those, including from the largest trade union federation, whatever challenges may or may not be, from the largest trade union federation in South Africa. I think that's very important for all of us. All of them have raised critical issues, which we must take seriously as a committee, and indeed as a listener. Just to be sure for start through that, we don't want to go back to the team. We think that there were serious flaws in the 2008 bill, and we don't want to go back to that. But we are seriously looking at the question of arbitration, when there is an agreement between the two parties as important when. Not in order to avoid the courts, because obviously there's a constitutional requirement, there can be recourse to courts, so we can't avoid it. But critically, that recourse to courts on compensation doesn't delay expropriation. That's very important to understand. And we're also looking seriously at an automatic referral, if there's a disagreement on compensation, to the courts, initiated by the sector at the cost of the sector, with bearing in mind that there might be poor communities who are affected by expropriation and who would find it difficult to take their case to court. So we're looking at all of those issues, which hopefully are working class and unemployed friends, because obviously they, as the South and many others have noted, it's not just rich, white, and otherwise. I won't get into some of the other details. Let's just get down straight into the chairperson, and you might correct me. The Freedom Charter doesn't talk about compensation one way or another. It doesn't talk about the state becoming the custodian of all land, although that might be the route through which what it says is that the land should be restored to those who work it. How we get there is, I think, an important public debate. I'm certainly in favour of moving as rapidly as possible in that direction. Okay, but there's no discussion about compensation in the Freedom Charter, one way or the other. And it doesn't necessarily say. In fact, it says basically, there's different forms of ownership that the Freedom Charter could well envisage, rather than state ownership and various forms of these. But those are important debates, but they shouldn't cloud what we're doing here. What we're doing here, as far as I'm concerned, mustn't block the process of moving towards, from my political perspective, a Freedom Charter vision in terms of land and other natural sources and so forth. And I believe that the Constitution also nudges us, or even leads us in that direction. But again, that would be subject to political debate. I'm even taking a bigger chance of becoming less in the spirit. You see, as a process, because
structure they are and for other political structures so they are. They still got engaged.
Okay.
Are not just the colonial or apartheid past. Every single day when workers are exploited in factories or on farms or in banks or in shops in South Africa, certain class of people are making ill-gotten gains. That's my socialist perspective. So, but we must not cloud our moral and political perspectives with our constitutional obligations as South Africans.
Okay.
And the rule of law within our situation. So, until we change the law or the constitution, we are required, in the cases of expropriation, to offer compensation. That compensation might be one rand. There's nothing preventing that being the case if there's a strong conservation. And then, of course, I'm saying even further, ill-gotten gains also include some very strange things that happened in the Limpopo province, which my colleague from Tshwane is referring to. So we must understand that ill-gotten gains are peculiar to the past of South Africa, although indeed my perspective would be that they are. But let me leave it at that, but to reassure consultants, I thank you for the general support. But for those who are sitting for, I think that you took time to support us, we disagree with some of the points that you made. I hope you have that made you feel better and made you feel better. Thank you, sir.
I would like to thank the presenter. Thank you very much for your attention. Honorable members, I would like your guidance in terms of tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thursday. Political parties have got their caucuses in the morning. And then 2 o'clock, the House sits. And I know that one political party has called a 3-line work for its members. So I'm not sure what's the position in other political parties. I am very keen that we meet tomorrow, but I'll be guided by the factual situation. I can say that let's reconvene at 2 o'clock tomorrow to continue business and the people that you have invited. But if works are going to marshal the members to the House, then I'll be alone here with the 2 ladies on my left and right.
Maybe I can come and solve the problem.
Honorable Ngozi.
No, the practice of a committee work continuing during the session, such that we would disagree with it. We want to be part of the input that the public is making. And I think that we must appreciate that tomorrow's parliamentary session is going to be very much in cut and cut. We're debating whether corporal punishment must be allowed in parliament or not. I would ask that we proceed until the House sits and then we stop. So my...
Just a second. You missed a clear point I made. I said tomorrow is Thursday and most political parties have the caucuses in the morning. Normally from 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock. So then I thought that if that's the case, we have the challenge of 2 o'clock and the agenda of Parliament.
I see. Let's move it to next week, Honorable. My proposal is that we move it to next week, conveniently.
Can I hear other political parties? Honorable Matan?
Yes, sir. You didn't describe the issue of the committee sitting and there is a sitting also. But given the point that we are interrogating this bill and having one presented more than the time allocated, tomorrow that 3 hours is not, we are not going to do justice. We still have people that will remain in, not being done. So it's good if we reconnect with so that we can do all the people that we didn't do justice to them.
I hear what you say, but a small correction. It's not the presenters that are taking 3 hours. It's also our engagement with them.
Thank you. I'm not a permanent member of the committee, so maybe I don't really have decision-making power or input. But I do agree, I don't think it is good at committeeship while we have a memory. I mean, that we must keep to. So it seems like next week will be an appropriate one. I myself as a police committee, but it's my problem, I'll sort it out.
Honorable Mr. Evans. You know, I would first time agree with the Freedom Front that we develop a story of action to give it more time and carry it through, because we've got to be lined up tomorrow starting at 2. We meet next week Tuesday, 9:30, we'll communicate then you have the I would like to thank you for your time and engagement. Thank you very much. I thank you for your participation today. Or take more members to have.
Some members want to be for Kenji. My good Kenji.
The last one? The last presentation. Yeah. No, 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 for today, the one we missed now.
Yeah, I'm sure.